Hello, Andrew here from the Horror Movie Gang podcast. And this is our Scream special. We've been waiting for this for so long. And it's a cracker. I think it's up there with our favourite episode we've ever done. There's just a slight problem. The sound quality isn't great. So please stay tuned. You can listen to it. If you like horrible tapping noises and horrible wind, stay tuned. It's fine. But other than that, but honestly, I do apologise for that. If it hurts your ears, complain. Send all your emails to Emma. It's all her fault. Okay, thank you. Hello and welcome to
the Horror Movie Gang podcast.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
I'm not even gonna swat that fly. I hope they are watching. They'll see. They'll see and they'll know. And they'll say, why, she wouldn't even harm a fly.
Hello and welcome to
the Horror Movie Gang podcast. Nelly.
Fucking hell, Emma.
Oh, it's you. Every time you let the side down, don't you?
How are you? How's the move?
Oh, my God. I'm sat in my car, covered in dust from the walls. My new house is a building yard. But I bought the paint for my horror room yesterday, so I'm getting very excited about putting that together. I will send you pictures. You can tweet them. It's going to look amazing.
I can't wait to see this horror room.
Can't wait. It's the only bit of the house I'm excited about.
Is it all in? Is all your horror stuff in now? Have you moved it all across?
No, it's literally still in storage. I am missing Chucky and Tiffany very, very much.
See, I think I would do that room before I did my front room.
Oh, yeah, it's the most important.
Who needs a telly and a couch, sofa, you know?
Well, in the horror room, first. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. So it's our Scream special.
Woo!
God, we've been doing this podcast now for nearly a year and I've been wanting to do Scream.
We have just
every
done
week.
It, have we?
And we've held off for a very, very good reason because our guest today is Ryan C. Showers, is it?
It's Ryan C. Showers, yes.
Hello, hey. Ryan C. There he is.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. So, you know, I'm really happy to be here because this has been, we've talked about doing this episode for a long time. So this is very fun. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, thank you for coming along. And I love your accent. It's so cool.
It's from Stoke.
Okay. Like, I don't know.
So, yeah, interestingly enough, we kind of started our podcast at the same time, didn't we, Ryan?
We did. It's kind of eerie to me. We both started towards the end of June. Like our episodes, yes. Our first episodes published basically a day in between, I think.
Yeah. And we've talked about, like Ryan says, we have talked about this from day one, but we thought we'd wait till the brand new Scream movie comes out.
Yeah.
And here we are, it's out there.
Can I ask you something, Andrew? Are you feeling the pressure because we've got a Scream expert on?
Absolutely. Obviously he's gonna know more than us.
Oh God, yeah. I'm just gonna stay quiet and let you guys talk.
Oh God.
Yeah. It's all on you, Ryan. But first of all, let's talk about your podcast, Ryan. I mean, it's doing kinda well, isn't it?
Kinda. I mean, if you want to call it that, no. It is.
No, come
well.
On, it is.
I'm very happy with it. I've put a lot of hard work into it, just like you guys have put into your show, and you know, it's it's been very rewarding for me on a personal level. Like, it's a very healthy thing for me, as well as it is something fun and something for the community. So I couldn't be happier with how everything has rolled out.
Yeah, I totally get that. I think it's the same with me and Andrew. I think it's a subject we're passionate about. And I don't know about you, but I've got nobody else to talk to about horror because they don't like it. So I just talk to Andrew once a week and it's my fix.
Well, I have to say, the people who, the people online who like horror movies are the nicest people. I know, like the thesis of the new Scream movie is talking about toxic fandoms, but I feel like of all the fandoms in the world, horror people are the least toxic of them. So that makes doing a podcast about horror, and for me specifically about Scream, all the more rewarding and lovely.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. And we're lovely, aren't we?
You're absolutely right. And if you think of horror, if you talk to someone of horror fans, they probably think, oh, he's into blood, he's into gore, he's not very nice. But we are genuinely the nicest people. We're really complimentary. I feel over the podcast as well, we've had no abuse. I think if you did like a sports podcast, there'd be abuse flying about each other's teams and stuff. But we all seem to get on, don't we?
Yeah, we have one common love, don't we? And that's horror.
Well, yeah, that's it. Can I just say, like, in the Scream fandom, anyways, the most contentious thing that we fight about is the series. Everybody has a series ranking, you know? Everyone's like,
yeah.
You know, sometimes it gets personal, but, like, at the end of the day, like, the Scream fans I admire the most are those who really love and enjoy all five movies and can talk about them without making it confrontational.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I'm one of my best friends. He's absolutely nuts on Scream. He's a huge, huge fan. And it kind of sucks because I'm a collector. So every time I get something to do with Scream, I just end up giving it to him. I have nothing. I'm too nice. I kind of want it all back now. It's a bit late, though.
If it was not Scream, if you were to do a podcast on something else, is there something else that you think you'd do it on?
Huh. If I did, I don't know, if I'm being completely honest. Okay, actually, I do have an answer for this. If I wasn't doing a Scream podcast, I would probably just be doing a podcast on The Good Wife, which was my favorite show, or Buffy, maybe. Oh. Like, I don't know. Scream is, like, probably is by far the biggest interest in my life. I do go through phases with other things. I do have other loves, but Scream really is my heart and soul.
It must be if you're doing a podcast on it. Yeah, absolutely.
What would you do, Andrew?
Oh, I don't know.
I was thinking about this. If I had to do one, like, podcast on something, do you know what? I reckon it'd be Gremlins. I think I'm addicted. Right.
Yeah. I am now. I wasn't so much. I think it's since we've started talking to you, Emma. Yeah, I've got a bit gremlins nuts, to be honest. But yeah.
Yeah, that's my fault. Sorry.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Should we start off with Scream?
The OG.
The original.
Who is this?
Tell me your name. I'll tell you mine.
I don't think so.
What's that noise?
Popcorn.
You making popcorn?
Well, I'm getting ready to watch a video.
Really? What?
Well, just some scary movie.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
You never told me your name.
Why do you want to know my name?
I want to know who I'm looking at.
Someone is playing a deadly game.
It all began with a scream over 911.
Someone who's seen one too many scary movies. Now, he's taken his love of fear.
Hello?
Hello, Sydney.
One step too far.
Do you like scary movies?
What's the point? They're all the same. Some stupid killer stalking some big-breasted girl who can't act, who's always running up the stairs when she should be going out the front door. It's insulting.
How old was you, Ryan, when you first saw Scream?
I was 12 years old. I was 12. In sixth grade. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it 10 years after it came out. I saw it in 2006 because I was born in 95. So I rented it Christmas Eve, or like the day before Christmas Eve in like 2006. And needless to say, I went back to the video store the next day to rent Scream 2 and 3. And the rest is history.
Nice. And Emma, how old was you? Did you watch it on release?
Right, so I'm showing my age now. I think I worked out I was 16 years old, and I went to see it at the cinema when it was first released.
Right.
And it was, I had a look at the release date. It was actually in May in the UK it was released. And then come October at Halloween, everyone dressed up as Ghostface. Literally everyone. There was ghost faces in every pub and club in town.
Everyone had a scream mask, didn't they?
Oh, in God, that period. I still remember the smell of the vanilla. It's a really weird smelling mask. I know that's really random, but that's the one thing I can remember.
Yeah.
And I went out, because I should say that we can legally drink here when we're 18. I was a mature 16-year-old, so I kind of got away with it. And I got really, really drunk. Went home to my parents and decided to scare my mum and dad. So I was scratching my fingernails down the window, and my mum looked up and started crying. And I don't think she's ever forgiven me. But it was funny.
Excellent. I think I watched it. I don't know if you can remember it, Emma. In the UK, we had a club called the Britannia Music Club.
I don't remember that.
Do you not remember that? So
no.
It was if you could buy a CD or a tape every month, and they would send it to you. I think it was something like £10 or whatever. And my mum and dad bought Scream.
Oh, wow.
And I think I watched it on the first day and instantly fell in love with it.
It was Yeah, I think I agree. I think the first time I watched it, I knew it was special.
I loved it because they talked about other horror films because of that step. Emma and I have spoken in length about this. We watched Nightmare on Elm Street at a very, very, very young age.
Five.
Yeah. I might have been the same age. So the fact that in this film they were talking about Freddy Krueger, they were talking about Michael Myers, because I don't think that has ever been done before.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think it had either. It's definitely special, wasn't it? I think when I first sat there, I mean, everyone knew who Drew Barrymore was. And I was like, great, yes. A film starring Drew Barrymore. Oh, no, no, no. I sat there going, what the hell has just happened? No, I loved it. It was absolutely brilliant. Took my breath away.
Well, over Drew in the UK, she did a lot of the interviews. She came over, I think she was on a lot of chat shows, and it was billed as a Drew Barrymore film. Mm. So yeah, I can the shock and the horror of the first 5-10 minutes.
Yeah,
she's great.
Wow.
So can you remember that first time you watched it, Ryan, and Drew? Well, choked it really.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, you know. To be honest, I think I knew she died before I saw the film. Like, I think, like, you know, just because this stuff is iconic, and like, I remember my grandma had like a magazine where it talked about Drew Barrymore dying in the opening. But yeah. I was still, she was, besides Courtney Cox, whom I knew from Friends. I loved Drew Barrymore. Like, I had seen so many of her movies. I loved her in the Charlie's Angels movies specifically. So it was just that sequence was everything that everybody says. About. You know, it's truly magnificent. It's terrifying, very shocking. And yeah, I loved it. And I loved that, like, you know, they took away that familiar person and allowed us to become familiar with these other people. You know, specifically the trio, Cindy, Gale, and Dewey, whom we've gone through now 5 movies with. Like, they've, you know, I don't think we would have such an intimate connection if Drew Barrymore would have been around as the star, if that makes sense.
No.
Absolutely.
Not sure. Yeah. Here's a question for you. Is it the greatest opening to not only an horror film, a film of all time?
I think so. Would you guys agree?
Absolutely.
Do you know what? I absolutely would agree. I think, because I went in there completely blind. I had no idea what was coming. And I remembered that impact it had. And I was like, okay, I don't know where this film's going now. Because it literally took Drew Barrymore away, who I remember from E.T. And I was a massive Friends fan. So obviously Courtney Cox, I loved her anyway. But yeah, it left you with that sense of uncertainty. And going into the rest of your film, you're like, right, I'm completely open. Do your worst. And yeah, it's just... great opener.
Yeah, it's perfect. Perfect. So let's talk a little bit about our characters. Ryan says we've been around for 5 films now.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a Sophie's Choice question. Who's your favourite?
Oh, God, that's so hard. is Ghostface classed as a character?
I think so.
I'm going Ghostface. I love him. I say him very openly.
You know, this is always a question that I always dodge by saying I prefer Sydney and Scream 1 and 3 and Gail in 2 and 4. And I guess I'm going to add Gail as in my favorite for 5 as well. I love them both equally. So, I mean, there's really, if I had to pick, if push came to shove, I guess I would pick Sydney just because her character arc in Scream 3 specifically is my favorite thing in the world. So I guess I would pick her. But it's a joint favorite character of those two.
I
think that's fair. Yeah. I do have a soft spot for Dewey because I think he has hell of a hard time.
He's got some stab wounds, that boy, hasn't he?
Oh, God, hasn't he? Just bless him.
So he's in the new movie before, at the very beginning, like in his first scene, he says, I've been stabbed 9 times.
Wow.
And that's not counting what happens later in the movie. So
exactly. I mean, give the guy a medal. all he's got is a little limp. He did well.
He's still looking great though, isn't he?
Oh, isn't he just?
I will say though, if obviously the first one, the favourite character in the first one was actually Randy, and if he'd have survived, we might have been having that talk. But
He's a great character.
I love Randy because obviously he's a horror fan, isn't he?
He's one of us, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
One of us.
Something else I love about the film is the soundtracks. I don't know how you feel about it, Ryan, but I think the soundtracks are truly iconic. They seem to get it right every time. Apart from the fifth one. I was a bit disappointed in the fifth one.
So, whenever we're talking soundtrack, are you talking like the instrumental score or like the actual songs? Okay.
The scores and songs, yeah. Especially the first, the second, and the third one. The third one's great as well.
The third one, in my opinion, is the best in terms of pure music. Like, and first of all, it's the most music, but Sydney's score, especially in the third one, because Sydney's at her most like devastated and traumatic, it really leans into that. And like, there's just so much momentum that's created in the movie and suspense with the music. But I love the first three scores. I actually do like the score for 5. 4 is the score that I think messes up. Like, I think that, like, the tone for Scream 4 kind of gets a little off-center because of the score. But at the end of the day, I still think it's a blast. So.
Yeah. And I think that's true at all. That not only the scores, the films in general, all 5 films are great films, aren't they? There's not a film I would say. I mean, I always see a ranking, and part 4 always seems to be at the bottom, but it's not a bad film.
Well, if I'm being completely fair, you know, and objective, because I love Scream 3, but I can't deny that it's controversial. 3 and 4 are usually at the bottom, but for younger people, like people who didn't grow up in the 90s or were even around before Scream 4, like the Gen Z people, a lot of them rank Scream 2 last. And I find that so interesting because people who lived through the 90s think Scream 2 is just the greatest thing in the world. But
I love Scream 2.
Oh, I do too. I think it's an amazing movie. It's probably my second favorite, if I'm being completely honest. But I do think there is a disconnect with the younger generations, where the younger generations do prefer Scream. They love Scream 4, and they are very open-minded about Scream 3, which I really appreciate. So I just find it interesting from like an anthropological standpoint to kind of analyze how people rank the movies, because I think it tells you so much about them.
Yeah. And every time I see a ranking on Twitter, there's hardly any sequences is the same. Everyone's different, aren't they? Everyone's got an opinion.
Now that we've added the fifth one in, like, the rankings are so all over the place. Like, I don't think I could give you a consensus. You know, most people put the original first, but in terms of the sequels, they're all over the place. I do think Scream 2 had a long life as, like, the best sequel. But perceptions of 3 and 4 have changed. 5 has a lot of love right now, and I don't because it's novel, because it's new, or if because it's going to be long lasting, but we'll see. So I just love all 5 of these movies. They just mean the absolute world to me. Like, I could gush about all 5. So
I love that. Emma, what do you think about the two leads in this, who are the killers? You said your favorite character is Ghostface. How does Stu
and Billy?
How do they rank as Ghostface?
I think they're incredible. I mean, Matthew Lillard, he plays that kind of literally crazy guy so well at the end.
I will interrupt you there. I did get an autograph from him this morning.
What?
I got sent this giant. Yeah, yeah. I subscribe to like an autograph box. I think it's called OC Marketing or something like that. And you should see the autograph. It is on Twitter.
Upset me now,
yeah, have a look.
You?
It's great. Anyway, go on.
Well, yeah, I'm going to gush about Matthew Lilliard. I love him. I mean, I just don't think you could ever beat him. It's, I'm feeling a little woozy here. I mean, his lines are frigging great. Yeah, I love him. And I'm shocked. I think that's out of all the films, I'm going to honestly say that was the film at the end where the killer reveal, I took a step back and went, whoa, that now that is good.
Yeah,
really, really loved it. Big fans of theirs, anyway. And can I just say, Pete Ulrich has got better with age. That guy has not aged.
He's a good-looking guy, isn't he?
Wow.
He was hot back then, and he's hot now.
So. Yeah, I swear he's got hotter. I mean, genius. Love him.
I went to an horror convention in October. There was tons of horror guests there. I think I texted you, Emma, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
So there were small queues for everyone, apart from them two. The queues went on for hours. I think I was in the queue for them two for about 5 hours.
I would take a tent and set up camp for the night. I would not care.
And they were so nice as well.
Yeah.
Lovely guys, anyway.
Lovely guys. Bless them. Hopefully I'll get to meet them one day.
Yeah, I'm
so
sure you will.
Have you met any of the cast, Ryan?
I have met, I met Nev, actually. She was like, honestly, how everything you would imagine her being, like how she plays Sydney, that's how she is in real life. She's so warm and she's so calm. And whenever I was speaking to her, I was like, I only got like a couple of minutes with her. I did like a private video call with her during the pandemic.
That's so nice.
It was like maybe like 2-3 minutes. I don't even remember everything that I said to her. I have a video of the two of us talking. Like it was for like a fundraiser. I won't watch it. I don't want to see how much I embarrass myself. But,
I
had like a poster of Scream 3 in the background, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, I love your poster!" And you know, it was. We talked about Scream 3, and we talked about Me Too, and I told her my perspective on her acting, and she told me a little bit about the new movie because they had just finished filming Scream 5 at the time, and she was going on and on about how much she loved what they did with Sydney's character and where Sydney is at her life. I loved her. Anybody else of the cast per se, but I have talked to the producer of the first three films, Marianne Maddalena, who was Wes Craven's filmmaking partner. I would say that we're friends. Like I have, you know, like, we chat a lot, and I have had the new directors and the producer from Radio Silence, you know, Matt, Tyler, and Chad on my show.
That's incredible.
They're coming back, actually. We just solidified a date, so they should be on my show the following week after people hear this. So to talk about spoilers for like a part two. So honestly, I love I've been so lucky with my show and with people like them supporting it and taking me seriously. So we have a great group of people, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I did see that you interviewed the guys from the new film, and I must admit, a little bit jealous.
God, yeah. So jealous.
I'm sorry.
They're great. So you should be. But yeah, they're great, those guys. Also, they directed VHS and VHS 94, didn't they?
They did. And yeah. They did Ready or Not. And what's the other one? Southland, or I don't know. I forget their other one. But they're great. They keep getting better with each project, I think. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Have you guys done an episode on Ready or Not?
We've not done Ready or Not.
We've
done VHS 94. Now I was a big fan of that. Emma wasn't.
Yeah, I just don't think that was my cup of tea.
But I thought that was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ready or Not, I was I'm volunteering or inviting myself to come back because I love it, and they're a part of my the Radio Silence is a part of my family now, so
yeah.
I feel like I could talk about it well. So,
well, as soon as we do that film, Ryan, we'll get you back in.
Let's do
That's great. So this is going to be very tough for you, Ryan, but at the end of each film in our podcast, we rate it out of 10, and it goes into a league table. Now, currently at the top is The Shining. I think it's got 9.8. So how are we going to rate Scream? Oh, Emma, would you like to go first?
Do not ask me to go first. Literally, I can't. I can't bear it. Oh, God. Okay, I did have a figure in mind, and it was 8.9. I'm going to stick with 8.9, which is quite high for me, because I can't be mean.
Well, it's a 10 for me. I think it's one of the first horror films I fell in love with.
Yeah.
It still holds up today. I watched it the other day. Yeah, yeah, it's 10.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go high. You always speak so highly of it. You love it.
Yeah.
You? I do love it, but it can't be The Shining.
I mean, this is a stupid question, Ryan, but how are you rating Scream?
Oh, God.
Well, actually, I'm going with a 3.7. I'm joking. It's a 10. Like, come on. I mean, these movies are my life. Like, you know, I mean, honestly, it is just such a wonderfully executed movie. Like, can I just speak for like a quick second about like the filmmaking aspect of it? Take apart like the entertaining aspect of this as a movie. It is, you know, the way that Wes directs it, it's so scary. It has an amazing pace. The characters are so vivid and memorable. The writing, like, you know, people always laud Kevin, you know, for his script, but they don't really give him like the technical credit. Like, for instance, like the scenes like Sydney and Gail talking outside the school about Cotton Weary and more, you know, Sydney's mother. That's a perfectly written scene. Like, if I was an aspiring screenwriter, I would watch that scene and see how, you know, how that does with dialogue and how it builds for the future and the backstory while pushing the murder mystery forward. Like, it's an impressive movie as a critical film. So with amazing acting, like it's a great movie. It's a classic.
You spoke there about all the pacing. It there's no scene in this that you think, oh, I don't think that should be in there. It moves along so smoothly, doesn't it?
And especially because I feel like movies today are, studios put this pressure on directors and filmmakers to make it as short as possible. Like a lot of horror movies only clock in between like 90 minutes and 100 minutes. Yeah. And all three Screams they're close to 2 hours, which I think is really great. And they're all well-paced. I would argue that Scream 2 suffers a little bit in the middle. Like, it does feel a little long, but I still don't think I cut anything out of it. Like, they're, you know, I love that we have these epic horror movies, these complete stories, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So go on, Ryan, how are you scoring it out of 10? The old bag.
I'm a 10. I'm a 10.
Gonna be a 10.
That's a high score for Scream, and that should rank quite high on our league table.
I think that could be top 5.
Yeah, absolutely.
Easy.
It's our news next, Ryan. I don't know if you've got a piece of news.
And we're doing, it's everything that starts with a B, correct?
It's what, sorry? Yeah. So our news this week, I don't know if you'd like to go first.
Yeah. So whenever you told me about this segment, you said that if you have like, I'm mixing up the segments. I apologize.
That's okay. That's all right.
We get, Emma, this is how we roll.
Absolutely. Yeah. We are so laid back.
Oh, we don't care.
I think we should be lying down, basically, shouldn't we? Emma, have you got any news? Okay.
I do have news. Horror news. I'm really excited about all the pictures that they're posting of Halloween Ends with Jamie Lee Curtis. Like, they're, you know, she's back on set. I almost rewatched Halloween last night, but I put it in, and it just doesn't feel right watching it when there's snow outside. Like, I really like to watch those movies.
snow! I'm so jealous.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually like -3 here, which is really cool.
Wow.
Like, Fahrenheit. And we've had big snowstorms like all of January, so yeah.
Right.
Well, like, mine ties in quite nicely with that, because obviously, you know, I'm a big Halloween Kills fan.
You are.
Yeah. Well, with Halloween Ends coming out, Nick Castle has just clarified a cameo.
He did. Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, he's going to be in there as Michael Myers somewhere or another next to James Duke Courtney as the Shape. However, he did a cameo in the first one, which is the 2018 one. They cut him out of Kills. I didn't realise this.
Yeah, they did. They cut his scene out. Yeah. He's I think he's on the Blu-ray version.
Oh, he's relegated to Blu-ray. Come on.
Yeah, but yeah. So hopefully,
Castle.
Yeah.
Be great. Yeah, I was kind of like, felt a bit sorry for him. And yeah, so that's my news. He will be apparently in the next one. And yeah, and I will be there with my popcorn throwing it around the cinema in delight.
Excellent. So in my news, it's to do with Scream, basically. So they've pretty much all but confirmed that everyone's interested in the Scream 6, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I think Courtney Cox has said she's interested. So has Neve Campbell.
I don't think Courtney has said that.
Oh, is she not?
Neve has been. Neve has basically said, "I'm in." As long as Sydney doesn't die, I'm coming back. But Courtney hasn't said anything. Like I don't see Neve coming back without Courtney. I think Courtney and Neve are bonded in a weird way. I think Scream 6 is inevitable.
It's made a hell of a lot of money, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And can I just say, like, on that note, like, it is so rewarding for Scream fans because Scream 4 at least gave me PTSD because whenever it came out, like, the first three all made about the same amount of money. They made between, like, $160 million to $170 million worldwide.
Yeah.
Wow.
Scream 4 didn't even make back its budget in the United States. I think it like made 70% less than the first three, and that just gave me PTSD. So to see this new movie doing so well in the middle of a pandemic is everything that I need.
And isn't it true that this Scream was already surpassed Scream 4?
It did that like I think within the first week.
Wow!
Fantastic.
Yeah. There you go. So yeah, it's going to be a sequel, and I think it was cheaper to make as well, wasn't it? This one, so
yeah,
already.
Because you know Neve and Courtney, they weren't the leads of this movie, so I feel like if you take the budget of Scream 4 and you like you know take out their huge salaries from the budget of Scream 4, you have the same budget for Scream 5, because they just have kind of you know more supporting roles, but
yeah, sure,
yeah,
excellent. Right, we will move on to our Ace's Head of Horror.
What's the letter?
Okay, so last week we did A. Emma, can you remember the thing that you picked?
So I picked Annabelle.
Yeah.
And I'm really put on the spot now.
Aliens.
That's it. Aliens.
I went for Ash and Amityville. Anyway, here's the result. Annabelle got shocking this. Quite a lot of people voted as well. Annabelle got 0%.
What?
Not a lot of love for Annabelle. I'm surprised at that.
I am.
Amityville got 12%. Aliens got 35%, and Ash from the Evil Dead series got 53%.
What a shock. You won.
No, Ash won.
No, to be fair, I think I said it last week really briefly. I don't mind if Ash wins because I love him. I mean, he's amazing. I have this newfound love for the Evil Dead franchise.
I kind of felt it was between Ash and Aliens. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's about right, the voting. So now we move on to B. I will say I am putting all this together in a book. I have wrote books before. I think
yes,
you know what I'm doing. So we'll put this on sale.
I think I know what I'm doing.
I think it involves paper and a pen, doesn't it? Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah,
you do. Well. So Ash is leading, yeah. So I'll put together a book and we'll have it for sale.
Let's do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Can we put our ugly mugs in there somewhere?
You can put yours in, not mine.
Thanks.
So now we move on to B.
Okay.
Okay. Emma, go on. I'll let you go first.
Okay. So I've steered away from films. I've gone for a character and a kind of a prop character as well. I'll start with a prop. So it's one of my favourite franchises. I have him sat at home on a tricycle
It is Billy the Puppet from Excellent. The Saw franchise.
Nice choice.
Him. Yeah, you're liking that one?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
It's not going to win, though, because I picked it, but whatever. Do you want my second choice?
Yeah, go for it.
I've already talked about him. I think he's the OG. He's hot as hell. He keeps getting hotter with age. It's Billy Loomis.
Nice choice.
Thank you.
Excellent. Ryan, would you like to go next?
Sure. I had so Billy was my backup.
Okay.
I wasn't sure exactly how to play the game exactly, but the B I want to mention, and I, this may not be a good one, and if it's not, you can just feel free to just put it aside. The lead actress of the new Scream movie is, her name is Melissa Barrera. So it starts with a B. I do want to mention her because I loved her performance and I loved Sam as a character, and she's Billy Loomis' daughter. So it's a tie-in with a B.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's a good one.
Definitely. She was great, wasn't she, as well?
She was.
I mean, we'll talk about them in life in our Scream review a bit later on. But it was always hard for them guys because Scream, you were associated with Courtney Cox and Neve Campbell. So for them two to come in and do a hell of a job was great.
Mm.
Okay, B. I'm going to go for the Blair Witch.
No, I nearly picked that.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan. Now, you talk about the Blair Witch, the horror fans, and it's kind of split down the middle, isn't it?
Very divisive, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about it, Emma?
Me, Blair Witch. Oh, I love it. I think I gave it at high school when we did do the review on it. I saw it originally at the cinema. I remember getting motion sickness watching it, but it's still a banger of a film.
It's still the only film I've genuinely been scared of.
That's that end scene, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
How about you, Ryan?
I like it. I've only seen it once, but I liked it a lot. I think it's interesting. It's an interesting monument in the horror history. So,
yeah,
absolutely,
definitely.
Hello?
It's happening. Three attacks so far. Do you have a gun?
I'm Sydney Prescott. Of course, I have a gun.
Something about this one just feels different.
Samantha, I know who you are. I've been through this a lot. This is your life now, which means that whoever this is going to keep coming for you.
Shall we move on to our new film?
Let's do it.
Okay, it is Scream 2022. Right, we'll start with Ryan. We have waited for this film, as Scream fans, for ages. It's been put back. It's like Afterlife as well. I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. It seems to be put back year after year, that one. But Scream was quite similar, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, so many people have waited for this moment. My whole podcast was made kind of out in anticipation of Scream, and I'm excited to continue it on afterwards. But no, the movie really delivered for me. I think it found an interesting, you know, really deep dramatic story to tell of the new characters. I love the sister storyline, but additionally, how it interweaved the original cast was amazing. I think these guys did a great job of making a requel in that sense of, like, you know, appealing to a new audience and telling a new story while satisfying the fans of the originals. So I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched this at the cinema opening day. I think I mentioned last week to Emma, there was a girl in there in a Scream costume. There's just so much love all over. I was kind to her, wasn't I, Emma?
No.
But there's so much love for this film all over the world. It's great. Emma, how did you feel about it the first time you saw it?
Oh, God, I was so excited. I mean, I love going to the cinema anyway. I just don't get to go enough. I was also very excited. They had reclinable chairs. I went the whole hog. I was so upset, though, because obviously I gave my friend my ghost face mask and he forgot it. We were going to go full cosplay. It didn't happen. But yeah, the build-up's been...
I hope you did, Ryan.
I didn't wear a ghost mask, but I had Scream shirts. Like, I had a shirt that had, like, nice. Said hashtag 4Wes, and then I had my podcast t-shirt, and then I had a t-shirt with Drew Barrymore on it. So
fair enough.
Amazing.
All right, Emma. Sorry about that. I needed to know if Ryan was in a Ghostface costume, that's all.
Absolutely. But no, I mean, I think the build-up has been, you know, obviously I work with a massive Scream fan as well, so we were counting down the days. And I absolutely, yeah, had a great time. Loved it.
Now, how did you feel about the opening scene? So I saw it before Emma.
Mm-hmm.
She kept asking me questions. Does this happen? And a question you asked me, Emma, is there a grand opening?
Yeah,
the character die?
I think I've kind of gone, obviously with the requel, the first one obviously had such a massive impact on me and took my breath away. I kind of wanted that to happen again. I wanted that moment. That's why I kept thrilling you.
But for the first time ever, a character does not die in the opening scene.
Yeah.
How did you feel, Emma? Because you were really big on that, wasn't you?
Yeah, I know, you know, Scream movies are kind of famous for their list of rules. And I remember on the podcast to you, I said, well, I've got my own list of rules. I really want it to kind of meet this criteria. So I wanted a big opening kill, or one of the main characters to die, or one of the main characters was the killer at the end. Yeah. And you kind of said to me, it does tick one of those boxes. I liked the opening scene. I thought it was clever. I loved the little automatic lock-in device on the phone. That made me really nervous, because I was like, oh God, no, that would absolutely make me cry. It didn't have that impact that the first one had, but it was good.
As an opening scene?
No, not for me anyway. Yeah.
I will make, I mean, the two guys behind the mask. I mean, are we allowed to give spoilers on this podcast? I think we are, Emma, aren't we?
Yeah, we already are.
I'll put a disclaimer up. Terrifying, the guys in the mask, I found.
Yeah.
He was really intimidating. It was Ghostface, he, she, whoever. Ghostface was scary in this one.
I think he had a more of an edge to him, didn't he? He was more callous, more calculating. Yeah. It came across a lot darker. And I kind of got that sense from the advertisements for it beforehand that that's the way they were going with him.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Say him. I'm just going to... I always say him.
How did you feel? How do you feel, Ryan? About the two
about
killers?
About the opening?
About the opening, about the two killers.
I really liked the opening. I've seen the movie 4 times now, so each time I see it, the opening gets better and better. So again, it's not as good as the first two in my opinion, but it's a very solid opening. I liked Ghostface and the way he was characterized. I love the stabbing, and I love the way that Radio Silence kind of set out and made its own rules about how characters get stabbed and how characters die and how they built the tension differently than West did. I think that was something really important that they did. They weren't imitating West. They were doing their own thing while being respected. Yeah. So
there's a scene in it, and oh my God, I genuinely frightened. It was when a character had a phone in their hand. I forget which character it was. And it was like a sat nav, wasn't it? And it showed that they were getting closer and closer together. And then that was genuinely, genuinely scary. I thought that was great. So how did we feel about all the brand new characters? Have we got any favourites? I know Ryan mentioned earlier on about Sam and Tara. I thought they were great.
Yes, I love them. I would say Sam is my favourite new character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd kind of agree with that. Actually, you know, they're going up against Courtney Cox and, you know, Neve Campbell. I mean, they are the Scream queens, aren't they? I mean, they've got a hell of a job to do, but I thought they did it really well.
And Scream has a hell of a future now, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
So many more stories you can tell with them characters.
Like a new generation, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. I loved Richie. I thought Richie was really good.
He was great.
I think all the way through... I must admit, all the way through, I kept saying, yeah, it's him. But then he'd do something to make you think, no, it can't be.
I changed my mind about who the killer was, honestly, about 50 times.
Right.
I sat next to my friend and I kept just nudging him, going, it's so-and-so. And he was like, oh, just shut up now.
But yeah, all the way through, I thought it was Richie. But yeah, I did. I just kept changing my mind. Mm-hmm. Thinking, oh God, he's been really nice though. He's running away. Clearly, it's not him. Forgetting that there's always two killers. Amber Chad, Indy Martin. All seem to work well.
Sorry, can't hear you very well. You there?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all right. You're back. Back in the room.
I thought it was really, really funny as well. Really, really well made.
The script itself was really well constructed in terms of everything I said before about blending like a new story. First of all, creating new characters and a new storyline, integrating the old, and still being funny. Like it has everything. You can tell they really spent time with the script.
Yeah. And if you think about it, right, it's quite hard to do that because me and Emma have talked about this. It's the same film five times over, isn't it, really? But to keep it fresh every single... And they do pull it off every single time.
Mm-hmm.
It deserves a lot of credit, that. Because it's basically... A friend is a killer. It's five times. Who is the killer? But they managed to do it. And all the new guys deserve a lot of credit. And I am looking forward to if and when there's going to be a Scream 6.
Oh, there will be. Or I'll start a petition, if not.
Most definitely. Ryan, have you got any more thoughts on Scream?
You know, the last thing I will say is I really think Dewey's arc here is very well done. I think this is a very emotional Scream. This is probably the most emotional film after the third one, because there's a lot of emotional moments in Scream 3, because that was supposed to be the end for the trio.
Yeah.
They really wrap everything up emotionally. But here, this storyline is very emotional. In particular, I think every time Courtney Cox has a scene, she is used perfectly. Like, every second she's on screen, she's fully realized, fully materialized, and she makes every second count. So I just want to say that. And I cried. There's around minute 50 through maybe minute, 70. I just cried nonstop for, 20 minutes in the middle of the movie.
Especially at the end as well with Courtney Cox, her last few minutes in that film. You can see she's genuinely broken, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, it was so sad.
Okay, so guys, how are we scoring the brand new Scream? Out of 10.
I'm not going first this time. I refuse.
Would you like me to go first?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I don't think it's as strong as the first three. I think it's better than Scream 4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go for 8.8.
Nice. Okay.
Ryan.
I mean, I know it's bad if I give it a 10, but I mean...
if you want to give it a 10, Ryan, you give it a 10.
I'm giving it a 10 because a 10 for me.
You can tell he's a Scream fan.
You're gone. I am. It'd be like me judging The Shining, wasn't it? I was like, it's 10, it's 10. For me, I mean, for me, it's not as strong as the first one. I'll always compare it to the first one. I'm sorry. I'm one of those people. It's just what I do. So, but I think
it's what everybody does, though, isn't it?
I do. It's because it's got a place in my heart, I think. You know, it's nostalgia for me as well. I am going to go... I'm going to agree with you and go 8.8. Still a high score because I did really enjoy it. I had a great time.
Still done really well. Fantastic.
Yeah, really good film.
I'd like to end. Now, Emma and myself, we collect a lot of merchandise. We collect... We're quite obsessed, aren't we? I mean, it's quite sad.
Yeah, we need to get a life, don't we?
Ryan, you need to tell us, what Scream merchandise have you got?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, I actually have a very interesting thing to say here. So I have, in my bedroom, I have framed posters, of the original trilogy and 4. But more importantly, and I have a ghost mask hanging, and I have, a big ghost face, scarecrow thing that hangs. But I have something that nobody else has in the world, which is a Scream Christmas tree that I keep up all year long. It's a black tree. It's a black and silver tree, the tinsel. And it's kind of tall and skinny. And then I just decorate it with all kinds of Scream merchandise. You know, pictures from magazines, stuff you would buy at, the Halloween store. So and I keep it up all year long. I love it.
I love that. I
need to see a picture of that.
I do that at Halloween. We have a Halloween tree up.
but it's just like pumpkins nice. And things like that. But I might have to change it and have it a horror one as well. Love it.
I'd love to see a picture of that. That sounds great.
Yeah.
I will send it to you guys.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. We'll put it on our Twitter. We'll end, Ryan. Just tell us a little bit about your podcast. This is your time to really promote. How do we catch you? How do we follow you on Twitter?
All right. So my podcast is called Scream with Ryan C. Showers. And you can find it anywhere there you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, the works. And I have a new episode come out every Tuesday. You can find me on Twitter at Scream with RCS. I'm really active on Twitter. I'm basically on all day long. I love to engage with people, Scream fans, and show my appreciation for everybody and pay everyone respect. So in my podcast, basically, we just do deep dives of all things Scream. You know, we don't do reviews necessarily. We kind of talk about topics. You know, we do so there's a lot that I cover. You would probably think, how can you sustain whole podcasts about five movies, but we talk about topics as opposed to points of view, as opposed to review. So if you love Scream, there is literally nothing else you should be doing on Tuesdays.
Love it.
I agree with you. It's fantastic. It's such a good listen. And Ryan, you've been great. We really enjoyed you being on.
Well, and can I just say, I love your show. Every time I put it on, I know I'm going to have a good time, because you guys, I feel like sometimes I come off as like a warden. Like, I'm so like, not boring, but like structured and organized and kind of like stuffy. Where you guys are so much fun and upbeat and all over the place. Like, you know, in a good way, like in the best way. Every time I put your show on, I know I'm going to be in for a good time. So.
Oh, you're a sweetheart.
That's lovely. I was interacting with someone the other day, and it was kind of a criticism. He said, you only talked about Halloween for like 10 minutes. I thought, that's what we do. We don't want to go on for hours and hours.
We just jabber, about, don't we? There's just no say, script.
If we just say if we liked it, if we didn't,
yeah,
and then we just start drifting off and talking about other shit.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we love it. Well, we love our podcast.
We do.
You guys have lovely personalities, and it comes out. So,
you're so thank sweet. You very thank much. You so much.
And again, you're invited back anytime.
Oh God, please come back.
Oh, I absolutely will. Like, you name it. I love, you know, basically, if you cover anything in the late 90s, like after Scream, I'm here.
Yeah.
If you want to do like Radio Silence, I'm here. And I definitely will have you guys on my show as well. So everybody should look out for that episode. Probably, you know, I'm kind of booked right now, like, over the next month, but maybe like later spring.
Lovely.
I'll definitely have you guys on my show. I'd love to come on.
100%.
100%.
Yeah. Okay, Ryan. Emma, we'll catch you all next week. Thanks for listening, folks.
Do you want my films?
Did what? Sorry.
Emma, films?
I'm so sorry.
Oh my God, you're so good. I can pull that with you so easily.
Right, go on then. What's our films for next week?
Okay, I'll start off with the new film, if that's all right with you. So absolutely. What I want you to do, Andrew, is get yourself over to Shudder. And this is a little bit different. I saw this and I was absolutely intrigued. I've not even watched the commercial for it, nothing. It's called ABCs of Death.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
I have. I think I have.
Yeah, so it's new on Shudder. It's made by 26 different directors. It's 26 stories of death. And each director has been assigned a different letter of the alphabet to portray a death by.
Love how you're linking it into our A to Z.
It's all planned.
A professional.
I'm
you made
so
me look like crap.
Oh my God, I know what I'm doing. So
right,
you can watch that for the new, because I'm quite intrigued by it.
Okay.
Old school, I am going to be a little bit self-indulgent. It's one of my comfort blankets, and it makes me feel warm and cosy. I love Chucky now, and we're going to watch Bride of Chucky.
Lovely.
Oh, I love Bride of Chucky. I love that. Oh.
So much fun, isn't it? So much fun.
Well, you know how I feel about Bride of Chucky.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
I think we talked earlier on about if we were to do a podcast about something. I think it would be Chucky for me.
Yeah.
I can tell you so much about, that's great.
Well, I'm a big Tiffany fan, so I'll just talk about Tiffany and you can talk about Chucky.
Excellent. how do you feel about them two films, Ryan? Have you come across them two before?
So I haven't the first one, but of course I love Chucky. I love the first two Child's Play. I love the Bride of Chucky, but the new series in particular, I really, I think is the best thing in the series, in the Chucky franchise so far.
Oh,
but
I love Chucky. The series. I've How just finished it? Watching yeah. it. It's well, fantastic.
And can I ask you guys an opinion? So, you know, we talked a little bit about Scream and how consistent the quality is of all the movies. I think it's true of Child's Play to a lesser extent. Like, I don't think of Child's Play as having a bad movie. They're all, you know, at least a 5 or a 6 or above. Like, they're all redeemable in some way.
Yes.
I think they're all brilliant. Absolutely. But they're all so different as well. It kind of goes,
We have talked about this before. I think it's the only franchise. I mean, people talk about Halloween as a classic franchise and Elm Street. But there's always a bad film in there, isn't there? Like, Nightmare on Elm Street 6 is awful.
Yeah.
4 and 5 are not so great. But Chucky, yeah, like you say, just perfect all the way through. I even like Seed. I think Seed gets a lot of flack, doesn't it? But
I
love Seed of Chucky.
It's great. We should do that one next.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay, guys, I will say goodbye this time.
All right, then.
All right, guys, thanks for listening.
Take care. Talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
That was great, wasn't it? Thank you to Ryan C. Showers.
Legend. Really, really is. Please have a listen to his podcast. It's so, so good. He's so professional. And such a lovely, lovely guy. I'm sure you can all agree. Next week, join us. Bride of Chucky and the ABCs of Horror. Now, Emma said it's a new film. It isn't. It's 10 years old, but I'm still looking forward to it. It's a film I haven't seen. So stay tuned to that. If you're a fan, send us a tweet. You can tweet us at Gangora. You can follow us at Instagram and Facebook. Thanks for listening, folks.